Okay, hi, I'm Maxine. Now we're going to talk about Riverside, which is my new album.
Thanks so much for being a part of the show today, Maxine. It's been a few years since your last album, Seance, came out. What's changed for you since 2021?
Yeah, lots of things have changed. I hurt my shoulder, so I don't play the guitar anymore, and I just have gotten better at using my digital MIDI kind of setup that I bought. I've gotten much more comfortable with that and just made more progress with that. And so yeah, a lot's changed, yeah. And I guess I'm just so sick of shifting around, and I've just, my gear's just got less and less and lighter, so yeah.
Did your injury change the way you approach songwriting?
As it turns out, not really. I just tried to ignore it for ages, just the pain and stuff. I just tried to ignore it because I didn't really want to have to admit that it was impacting my life so badly. But actually, it hasn't been as bad as I thought it would. No, because the songs are still the songs, and it's just made me learn, branch out and learn more about other, using other sounds.
Before you started the album, was there anything in particular you wanted to try out that you hadn't done before?
Yeah, it was this thing I bought called Bitwig Studio, and it came, you know that Arturia stuff? It's just this tiny wee MIDI keyboard, and it comes with all these digital sounds. So it was, I guess I had mucked around a lot, so those are the best. Yeah, but it's pretty new. I was really trying to cross over into a whole new world. This is like after, you know, over 10 years of just using cassettes. Magnetic tape and reel to reel. So it did take a long time to get familiar, and I just was happy. I bought a digital microphone that's just a USB one. It was a Rode one, and I was really happy with how it made the cello sound. It was just such a delight. I was really glad when I discovered that.
How long have you been playing the cello for?
When I was at high school, I did proper lessons, even I think actually when I was at primary school. And then when I was in high school, I joined a improvised group, and that went for ages. It went for like 10 years, and there was just an improvised orchestra. And then there's such a thing as too much freedom, and I just kind of got bored with improvising, because we always seemed to make the same sounds anyway, and 10 years is quite a long time. And so it wasn't until a few years ago that I gave that cello back to the person that had lent it to me for all those years, which was probably the hardest cello to play in the world. It was the most difficult, awful sounding thing, and I bought a slightly better one, which was still the bottom of the line, but it was slightly better than the one I had been playing. And I was like, oh, this is so easy, this is so much easier. It really freed me up. So I just kind of let loose. I never read music or bother doing that sort of stuff. I just do it for enjoyment, yeah.
Could you talk me through where some of the field recordings are taken from?
Just really, really early in the morning was the best time, before the traffic started up at that time. And just at the beach. I mean, it's not hard in New Zealand, is it? You know, you just go to a beach. But otherwise, just the back deck, just at like 5 in the morning, 4:30 or something. I guess when I first realised I can't keep carrying around this huge reel-to-reel monster that was so heavy. And I first realised that, and I thought, I've got to be brave, and I've got to teach myself how to, you know, do digital stuff. And I bought a little standalone micro BR Boss Micro, it was called, Micro 80, which is just about the size of a notepad. It's got 8 tracks, and it's a digital recorder. So it's just like a wee thing you can take anywhere, and it's got super, super sensitive condenser mics. And so yeah, so when I got the wee micro BR thing, then that just really freed me up.
Was there anything you were leaning on for inspiration or taking influence from while you were writing the album?
I guess the songs were, at the time, I had time in the evenings. Well, I was living next to a building site actually, so I had to wait until they stopped. It wasn't until about 11 o'clock at night that there was actually some sort of quiet, and then I'd get I'd get start reading about 2 or 3 in the morning, till, and I just really enjoy just the peace and quiet. And so just the books I was reading, I just collect ghost stories and supernatural stories and things like that. So I guess that's in the mix. I think there was a some poetry. I think I was reading some Chinese poetry from the bookshop down the road, and I was just really enjoying that poetry, and I think that probably influenced the first song, just the enjoying the feeling of the sounds over any message, you know, just the beauty of the sounds of the words, and that sort of inspired me, I guess. Yeah.
And how did you get looped in with Matthew at Disciples?
About 2018, I was at a point where I was wondering what am I doing with my life, because I was getting older, and I was quite motivated at that point to look into what I could do with the music. And so he got in touch with me through maybe the music that had come out around 2018 and suggested I do something, and I looked into it and I thought, yeah, actually I would like to, but then he got busy with other projects and it didn't work out. And then he got in touch a couple of years later and I thought, oh yeah, we could do that again. It wasn't too exciting, it was just he personally wanted to gather all my stuff from compilations through the years and put them all on one album, and I wanted some money, so I just thought I'll just do that. Sort of got a primordial kind of feel to it, like before the world wakes up, and I guess that feeling of, I mean, ages ago I watched this documentary on some nuns in a nunnery, and this nunnery is still around at the moment, I can't remember where it is, and there is one nun that gets up at like 4 in the morning because there's a time, she says, that people wake up who are from nightmares, which is always a certain time just before dawn when they're just waking up, and she always says a special prayer at that time of the day for the people who are, and it just always stuck in my head for years. And I think that song has like a feeling of that strange time that's not morning and not night, you know.
A trifle early as the spring, wisp of willow whispering, the nun's blithe prayer still roaming like a thief. Over hills the darkest hour, over hills the darkest hour, for the nightmare wakers, the dream. Like a of a glass bottle sing. So earthy, earthy is the spring. Glass bottles of a glass bottle sing. So earthy, earthy is the spring.
Change, like a, you know, like a change speaks and tells you, you don't know where you're going or how your challenges or the things you're facing, you don't know what the answer's going to be or how things are going to pan out ever, but they do. And I guess a river is like a constantly changing thing, and it kind of speaks. And I guess that, yeah, the album, it spoke to me in a sort of a what it wanted to be. It didn't come to me in the way it is because I chose it to be that way. It was just time and changes and fate, I guess, that made it what it was.
You can't take the old place with you, but the people remain. Still we change things, and now we change. Undressed by the river, undressed by the river. Sigh of release, 'cause now we see. sipped our beer and put our feet in, looked at each other and smiled. Yeah, we changed things, and now we changed. Undressed by the river, undressed by the river. Oh, submerged and caked in mud, to put the hounds off our scent. We held on a night to realize we're dressed by the river, we're dressed by the river.
Lotalina chord in it. Yeah, this is when I was just trying to learn interesting songs from the past, because there's always surprises, and it was one of those, I think it's a Bertolt Brecht and Kurt Weill from the, you know, Berlin times, and they just wrote some really cool old songs, and it's always, if you've got time on your hands, they're just really interesting to look at the chords and how they put them together. So that's just what I sort of based it on, a song. It's called September Song. And then with the lyrics, though, you know, people call, find an anchor point, I guess, of some of people to call on who are always sort of seem quite settled in time and in their place. And there's those natural people out there that you just find so easy to just to call on, and they're always there. And then in the third verse, the calling on you is the way we call on those people is the same way that, you know, our memories sometimes just call on us and visit us too, and find us, they find us as well. It's, I guess it's got a spiritual element to it, yeah.
Paying my bills, gotta maintain my pride. Hard not to be swept out in the tide. Oh, when the seagulls fly, wishing's in the although you had to find behind the bracken and
About what happens after we die, so or that we don't, or that we don't know, or what we might think we might want to do. Yeah, I guess there's just places. I guess like the Summers of Gorse that I mentioned, and or when you're a kid and you used to make those houses with tablecloths and stuff. There are just some sort of places that seem to have like an eternal feel to them, and they do feel like they're from eternity, and you might visit them again one day. And then it's easy to think, well, maybe I will, but then actually we'll never know. So it's like a kind of a question song.
Some people want to leave a big impression. Lonely souls across a rocky shore. Old friend, do you remember those tablecloth tents? Let's haunt them and nothing more, nothing more afterwards. Some people have waited on the threshold to tell what they couldn't be.
Recording was actually from Long Beach, and that's just in Dunedin, and there's a cave and there's often lots of dripping water, and it's quite gloomy and just spacious at the same time, and often a really moody skyline, and it just again just seems to be an incredibly long beach that just spans for miles, and just the sound just summed it up for me.
Thank you.
was quite, you know, actively invested in trying to come up with some lyrics. I had some time on my hands at that time and hadn't really had anything good for ages, but I just, we went out to the beach, I can't remember which one it was now, Allen's Beach, where they have like huge sea lions, those big black ones, and that just came to me when I was walking along the beach, and I wrote it down in the car. I think I must have been reading or talking about the storybook Ferdinand the Bull at some point, because there's sort of a bull ring kind of drama going on another layer, and that's why it sort of has castanets and the Lupin crowd, and it just, yeah, I think it really reminded, I mean, being literally having a giant black sea lion coming towards you, I guess I was
feeling like, I don't know what, I don't know.
Yeah.
Thank you. rattling their castanets. Rattling their castanets.
Funke, you're listening to Totally Wired on BFM.